Turn with me, if you would please, to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, as we consider that for our meditation this morning in God's Word, it's found on page 486 in the Pew Bible. Page 486. We encourage you, if you're here, to take God's Word and follow along with us. Psalm 13, let us hear God's holy, inspired word. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. So ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, we come to your holy, inspired, and inerrant word again this Lord's Day to ask you to teach us, to open our hearts to your word. O God, the Holy Spirit, be our teacher, for our learning is of no value. You inspired your word, and we realize that you must be our teacher. So we come to you, asking you for your grace, to apply your word to our hearts, that we might learn. Bless every word that is said, that it will honor you. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a lady that was having guests over to her home one evening. And she had a young daughter who was trying to help her, and she was frantically getting things together, trying to get her house in order, and mumbling and running around and getting things together. It was frantic, and finally the guests arrive, and they gather around the table, and the mother was very impressed because her daughter was just learning how to pray. And as they were around the table, the mother said to her daughter, honey, why don't you pray for us now at the table, at the dinner table, because you know how to pray. And the daughter said, oh, no, mommy, I don't know what to pray. She said, you pray. And her mother said, oh, no, honey, you pray. She said, well, what should I pray? And she said, well, you've heard mommy. You heard mommy pray. You pray like mommy prays. And she said, are you sure? And her mother said, yes, pray like you heard mommy pray. So she said, okay. So she bowed her heads and she said, dear Lord, we really don't want to have these people over for dinner tonight, but I guess we'll make the best of it. Amen. Now you can imagine what that mother must have felt like after that prayer. You know, there's no way you can redeem that moment after something like that, no matter what you say, no matter what you do. Now, if I would have been the guest over that night, I would have laughed, because that is so funny. I mean, that's the way it really is. I mean, you invite someone over your house, you're getting things or rather, you're running around, and you think, why did I pick tonight? Why didn't I pick tomorrow night? You know, I've got so much going on. Why not next week? And, you know, you're running around, and finally they come to the door and say, oh, come on in. But that's not the way it is. Well, Psalm 13, as we begin, is somewhat like that. You look at David and you say, David, what are you saying? Shouldn't you be a little bit more respectful? Look at what he says. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? forever. Matter of fact, let me give you a little bit more literal translation. How much longer, Yahweh, will you go on forgetting me? Forever? How much longer will you go on hiding your face from me? Several commentators kind of come down hard on David for speaking like that to the Lord. Well, aren't you glad we have this psalm to show you how God's people, how low God's people can get, and that it's okay to lay your heart open before God. Now, it's only before God that we are to lay open our hearts, because we're told in Scripture that we are to control what we say with other people. For instance, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11 says this. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." In our relationships with other people. But with God, we can speak to Him and open our hearts to Him. The struggles of your faith. We see David here going through an incredible struggle. And yes, this psalm was sung in the worship services of Israel. Even this psalm that has so much to do with David's heart being opened before God. So let's look at this psalm that deals with the struggles of your faith and see what we can understand about that. First of all, I'd like you to notice what weariness your faith can reach in verses 1 and 2. Notice what weariness your faith can reach in verses 1 and 2. Your faith can become very weary. But the Lord does deliver His people in His time. He strengthens them and encourages them. We do have the end of Psalm 13. But we have to go through the other verses till we get there. The three things I'd like you to notice here in verses 1 through 2. First of all, your faith can grow weary in waiting. As you consider the weariness your faith can reach, your faith can grow weary in waiting. Notice what it says. Notice what David says. How long, or literally, how much longer? How much longer? David's been waiting for a while. Do you notice that David deals with the same issues you and I do? Don't you? You identify with this, don't you? Can't you say, "Yes, David, I understand what you're saying. How much longer? It just seems like forever." He had to wait for God to answer him. And often it seems like a long time. This is something that God's people of all generations have to deal with. When you have to wait upon God, you think that you've been forgotten, don't you? Because when you wait, and time goes by, that's normally what you think. For instance, if you're on the telephone and you're on hold, after a while, you think, "They forgot about me." Or if you're waiting for someone at a checkout counter or something and they don't come back, you think, "I guess they forgot about me." Well, that's what we carry over in our religion. When God doesn't answer, we think, "I guess He forgot about me." But that's not the case. David shows us that here. But that's how we feel. We grow weary in waiting. Because we don't like to wait. We want instant things. And instant is often not good enough. Some of you remember, especially you ladies, when you had to cook things on the stove and get a pot out and heat it up on the stove and serve dinner. We now have microwaves, but how many of us stand before the microwave and tap our fingers and saying, "Come on, this isn't fast enough. You know, it's not good enough anymore. We don't like to wait. Secondly, not only your faith can grow weary in waiting, but secondly, your faith can grow weary in silence. Your faith can grow weary in silence. Notice what he says. He says, forgetting. He says, will you forget me? How long will you forget? He also says, are you hiding? How long will you hide? How long will you hide your face? And literally it's go on hiding. Go on forgetting. It's a continuous thing he's talking about here. It's something that has been going on. 4 times in verses 1 and 2, David asked God, how much longer? See that? 4 times in those 2 verses. How much longer? Now, I don't think David, though I think he grows weary and waiting, I don't think David's afraid that God can't answer him. I think David's afraid that he will wear out before God does. Before God answers him. Do you ever feel that way? That you just don't have enough to hold on? That you just can't make it? You feel if God doesn't answer you soon, you just aren't going to be able to just handle it anymore. You're just going to fall apart. I think that's what David's saying here. How much longer? 4 times. That's what David's saying here. And you can feel that. How much longer? Lord, how much longer? And silence. You know, silence is worse than getting bad answers, getting rude answers, someone interacting with you. It's worse than when people don't say anything. And sometimes when you speak to God and you don't sense His presence or you don't sense His response, that can be worse than anything. That's what David experiences here. And you experience it sometimes too. And then thirdly, the third thing. Your faith can grow weary in heartache. Your faith can grow weary in heartache. Notice what it says. Notice what he says here. He says, as he begins here, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Sorrow in my heart daily. This word sorrow, is a word, it's the Hebrew word yagon, and it means anguish, heartache. It's more than just being a little bit sorry or feeling a little down. It's deep agony and deep heartache. When you deal with sorrow, sorrowful things or deep things like this, or deep providences from God in your life, you can grow real weary in your life waiting on God. And notice David says daily. Literally, how much longer must I lay plans before me? David says, I've got plans. But there's agony in my heart by day. Day after day. How much longer will my enemies be lifted up over me? They're winning. They have control over me. They're beating me. They're laughing at me. And they're laughing at you. So there's weariness. That's how weary your faith can get. Because you can grow weary, as I said, in waiting, in silence, and in heartache. And you know that. Because I'm sure if you're a Christian, you've experienced that. And that's what David brings before God. He opens his heart up and says it before the Lord. Secondly, not only notice what weariness your faith can reach in verses 1 and 2, but notice what determination your faith should pursue in verses 3 and 4. Notice what determination your faith should pursue in verses 3 and 4. David would not let go of God. He kept on speaking to Him and crying out to Him because He was the only true and living God. He could go nowhere else. Notice verse 1 and 2, he cries out to God, says, "How much longer? How much longer will I wait? You're not answering me." And you would think at the end of verse 2, he would say, "Okay, that's it." But what does he do? He goes right back to God again at verse 3. "There's nowhere else to go, Lord. You're the only one. I know You are the only one that I could speak to You." "Consider and hear me," our text says, but literally it's, "Look, answer me, Yahweh my God." Look, answer me, Yahweh my God. It's a cry coming from the depth of his heart. Three things I'd like you to notice here. Your faith should determine to seek God's presence. Your faith should determine to seek God's presence. It should always determine to seek God's presence. Notice he says, "Consider and hear me," or as it says here, "Look, answer me, Yahweh my God." Verse 1 and 2, you pray your heart out, and it appears as if God doesn't hear you, and you continue. You know, maybe it doesn't make rational sense that you would continue to pray to a God who seems silent, but it's biblical sense. Luke chapter 11. What does Jesus say in Luke chapter 11? Luke chapter 11. Verse 5 says, and he said to them, he's talking about prayer, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." And then he goes on and says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." You keep on going. You seek. And it's something you continually do. Determination. Determination. David does it. He's down, really down in his heart. But he keeps on going. Secondly, your faith should always determine to remember God's power. Should always remember, always determine to remember God's power. Notice what he says. He goes on to say here, "Consider me, O Lord my God." Now, he uses the word, the covenant name for God, Yahweh. You see those Lord in capital letters. That's the covenant name of God, Yahweh. He says, "Yahweh, my Elohim." Yahweh, my almighty God. Yahweh, my powerful God. My covenant God of all power. So David reminds him, "You are my covenant God. You've bound yourself by your mercy and your love to me, and you are all powerful. I know who you are. I know what you can do." David knew he was speaking to God Almighty. And he knew his power and his authority. And he knew he had all power on earth and in heaven. He could change anything at any time. And he wanted him to minister to him and deal with him. And David would not let up. Do you do that in your prayers? Are you relentless? Do you just go after God? Do you remind him of his covenant, of his commitment, of his love? Remind him of his power? Seek after him. Then thirdly, your faith should determine to honor God's name. Your faith should determine to honor God's name. Look at verse 4. Lest my enemies should say, I have trounced him, is literally. Lest my enemies rejoice, literally, because I stagger him or move him. In other words, what is David saying? David is giving reasons to God, to Yahweh his God, as to why he should answer his prayers. You see that? David is saying, look, Lord, one of the reasons you should answer me is because of what they're doing to me, but they're doing it to you. It's your name. I'm here in your name. Your people. Here's the reasons, Lord. My enemies are saying they've done this. My adversaries are rejoicing. But it's you. It's your name. Do you pray that way? Do you give God, the Lord God, reasons why he should answer your prayers? When you pray for salvation for people, your family and friends, how do you pray? That God would save them? That there might be more people who would worship God and glorify his name? Or are you just praying for peace in your family? What kind of reasons do you give God? Give God reasons. Or you would like to have more money to pay your bills, which is a good reason, but that you could give more to the work of the Lord for missions, for other things, for health, that you could serve the Lord more and do more things, as well as being healthy in other things. Do you give God reasons? Give him reasons when you pray. That's what David did here. Reasons. So, determination your faith should pursue. Seek God's presence. Your faith should determine to remember God's power and to honor God's name. Then thirdly and lastly, notice what incredible love your faith should never forget. Verses 5 through 6. Notice what incredible love your faith should never forget. So we see, notice what weariness your faith can reach. Verses 1 and 2. Notice what determination your faith should pursue. Verse 3 and 4. And thirdly, notice what incredible love your faith should never forget. We should never forget the goodness and love of God that he has shown to us over the years. We should take time to sit back and think about all the things that God has done for us. Do you ever do that? Take time and just think about your life. Think about what has happened over the years. What God has done. Three things I'd like you to notice here. First of all, your faith should never allow you to forget God's works of mercy. Your faith should never allow you to forget God's works of mercy. Notice he says it here, verse 13, but I have trusted in your mercy. Now this word mercy is the word hesed, which means loyal, unfailing love in Hebrew. I have trusted in your unfailing love, love that does not give up, that will not let go. David is saying, I remember all that you have done for me in the past and all that you have done for your people in the past. And I know you are faithful and I can trust you. See, that's where things begin to change with David here. You see that? David's circumstances haven't changed yet. But David begins to change. Why? Because David begins to remember what God did for him. He remembers that. God's faithfulness. His works of mercy. I have trusted in your unfailing love. He remembers. Secondly, your faith should never allow you to forget God's incredible salvation. Never forget God's incredible salvation. Now, the word salvation here, this word salvation, Yeshua, in Hebrew, can mean salvation from sin or it can mean deliverance. And I think David here is referring to his deliverance that God has brought him through as well as his salvation. David has wrestled with God in prayer, now believes in his heart that the Lord will deliver him. The Holy Spirit has given him assurance of what God will do. David says, let my heart rejoice in your salvation and your deliverance. I remember what you've done for me. Certainly you're going to do it for me now. Your love is unfailing. It never quits. It's never let me down. It's not going to let me go. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to be abandoned. Do you believe that? That God will not abandon you? Remember His covenant love? His salvation? He will not let you go. That changed David's heart. When he thought about that, when he thought about what God did, he was overwhelmed with joy. Look at verse 6. Here at the last point, your faith should never allow you to forget God's continuing faithfulness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. And actually the last phrase literally is, for He has cared so completely for me. Completely. Do you notice how a knowledge of God's faithfulness changes the hearts of God's people? If you remember His faithfulness, notice the joy and thankfulness in David's heart. He remembers His faithfulness. And that will do it for you too. If you sit down and think about God's faithfulness, if you read His Word and you read of His faithfulness, and you notice verse 6. And the last part of verse 5. He speaks as though He has already been delivered. Particularly the last part of verse 6, because He has dealt bountifully with me. Do you remember God's faithfulness to you? Do you apply that to your current life situation? If God was faithful back then in other situations, won't He be now? It's not saying He's going to work things out the way that you want them, but He'll be faithful. He'll do what is right and what is perfect. But He'll never abandon you. Here is David in Psalm 13, struggling. And verses 1 through 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, down at the depths of his heart. And then in verse 5, he remembers God's mercy and His faithfulness. And he's turned completely around. And he's rejoicing. He's praising God. See what you can do with the struggles of your heart? Read this psalm when you get home. Read this psalm when you are down. And look what David did. See, God's people all deal with struggles in their faith. You know, Peter in the New Testament tells us not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. We are to rejoice that we are called to taste in the sufferings of our Savior. God the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and in your life to make you more holy. God cares for you and loves you, but is far more concerned for your holiness than your happiness. By that I mean, in order for God to make us and make you more holy in certain areas of our lives, it may mean that He must sacrifice some of our happiness to do that. However, remember, God never does anything without a purpose. And that not one thing can happen to you without God's permission. And may that be the pillow that you rest your head on at the end of the day. And may you wake with the truth that your struggles have a beginning and will have an end and will accomplish God's will in your life. Because we all have the struggles of our faith, but God has a purpose for them, and they will accomplish His will.